How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Very busy day today, got some surprises coming up. We got full bore WrestleMania week coverage here. Raw is in the books. It was a go-home show, what can I say? Not the most exciting. If you have been following wrestling for any length of time, years, you probably have noticed that often the final Raw before WrestleMania is not really all that exciting. They usually shoot the big go-home angles a couple of weeks beforehand, and then the final Raw before Mania is a by-the-numbers show, announcing the matches, a couple of small angles, nothing exciting. That was last night. And we can add here today that, as I had figured, and tongue-in-cheek predicted, in fact, on Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer last night, they did, in fact, change the three-way tag team title match to a ladder match. It was decided yesterday afternoon, but they did not announce it at some point on Raw. They did not say in the final segment of the show, hey, guess what? The three-way tag team title match is now a ladder match. No, they announced it today on social media. So we now have to concern ourselves with another person getting killed on WrestleMania, besides Shane McMahon. Enzo Amore, who ragdolls himself all over the place on a regular basis, he is now in a ladder match. Big Cass, who I don't think has ever been in a ladder match in his life, and nearly killed Sheamus last night, leaving him with 16 stitches, is now going to be swinging ladders at guys on Sunday. So add that to the list of stipulations and discussion points of Mania. We'll be back in just a moment to kick it off. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here. Wale, Observer Live, Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi. In a few minutes, Wale is going to be joining us here on the show.
He's doing pictures right now.
That's right, he's doing photos right now. We just spoke to him a moment ago, so he will be joining us here in just a moment.
And I'm going to do some photos here after the show.
And then we will discuss WrestleMania, Wale Mania. We've got a full card for WrestleMania. 13 matches scheduled for the show.
Stips aplenty.
We know that two of them have been confirmed for the pre-show, those two being the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and the Neville versus Austin Aries match, which I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the early arriving crowd, I'm sure, is going to be pretty excited because they're arriving early. They're the real hardcores. But there's not going to be a lot of people in that building. I remember last year.
Oh, my.
Oh, that pre-show, they were doing matches in front of 80 people.
Yeah, who was the... I got to look it up and see who the first match was. It was actually depressing compared to the year before. The year before, it wasn't great, but last year, it was terrible.
I think it was the women. You can go back and check, but we have all of these matches, and in fact, they did announce on social media today that the ladder match, the three-way ladder match, is now... It's a ladder match. It was a tag match. Now it's a ladder match. They added the ladder stipulation to it, which when I watched the show last night, it was patently obvious that they were setting up for a ladder match. But they didn't announce it on the show. And I jokingly thought, well, of course, they're just going to announce it on social media. Well, they did. I was fearing the idea of a ladder match because I know it's Mania. I know they like to do all of these stipulations and make it seem like a big special show, but I love Enzo and Cass. I think that they should probably win the titles at WrestleMania. They were in Orlando for a long time. They never won the NXT Tag Team titles. They're going to Orlando on Sunday, and they could win the Tag Team titles there for the first time ever in Orlando. It'd be a cool thing. It would get a big pop. Everybody would love it. The problem is, I don't think that Enzo and Cass, this isn't two guys from the indies. I don't think these guys have ever been in a ladder match in their entire lives. Have they ever? I mean, I can't think of any opportunity where they would have had the chance to go in there and do a ladder match. So you got two guys who have never been in a ladder match, who were at WrestleMania, are probably super excited. I mean, they were super excited on Raw last night. They were swinging ladders around. Cass hit Sheamus in the head with a ladder. Dude needed 18 stitches to close the wound.
Oops.
I mean, Enzo, last year, in a regular tag team match, knocked himself out because he got overexcited. They're going to be falling off things. They're going to be swinging ladders around. I'm a little worried about this match, to be honest with you. For them and for their opponents.
I was concerned more about, God, what could they possibly add to the SmackDown women's match or something like that? What ridiculous thing could they add to that? And thankfully, it doesn't look like they're going to add any wacky stipulation to that. Instead, they added to this where, it's a little bit better and everything, but this is having a stipulation just to have a stipulation, just to add something on because it's WrestleMania. You already got something. It's for the Raw Tag Team titles, and it's a three-way. I don't know why they just didn't do that and stick that actually on the pre-show since they haven't featured or focused on it whatsoever and just kind of left it alone right there. But I would assume the placement of it is because they want Enzo to do his shtick on WrestleMania proper, which would be the more traditional time, I would assume, than do it on the pre-show where Neville and Aries, unfortunately, are going to be stuck. Now, they can still steal the show as far as the quality of the match, but it's very difficult to steal the show when you got an empty crowd, which is what Kalisto and Ryback opened the show with last
year.
That's
right.
And then they followed it up with a 10 Diva women's tag match.
No wonder Ryback quit. They also added yesterday the new stipulation that the four-way, Bayley, Charlotte, Sasha, and Nia, is now an elimination match.
I just want to see Nia kill everybody at this point.
Why?
I don't know.
She's
I don't know
the
because
worst
I don't
person
want...
in the match.
You're right, but you know what? I think personality-wise, after listening to Jacob Silge, who old Saturday Night Live reference for people who get that when it comes to Charlotte, Sasha Banks as a good girl, good guy slash holding the microphone, and Bailey, whose performance on the microphone last night, they have made a lot of missteps, and I don't want to kill this match.
Wait,
it's probably
please clarify
be pretty
what
good.
You're talking about. Are you saying that Nia has the best personality of any of the girls in this match?
No, it's actually she actually hasn't made me as sick as some of the other girls have. In the ring, it's great. They're fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. They just, the way they script these girls and the way they have them out there and the way they started the show last night, I don't think they play to their strengths at all. In fact, I think they very much play against them with having them memorize a whole lot of nonsense. And I know that's everybody, but I think it really shows when it comes to the women that they just have these girls beaten to death when it comes to, here's a bunch of stuff to remember and regurgitate out there. And it comes across terribly.
Now, I always curse myself when I make announcements like this, but if you're also interested in the other shows this weekend, including the ROH iPay-Per-View, which is taking place April 1st, Lakeland, Florida, you will be able to check it out on iPay-Per-View. We are going to have a rare interview with Alex Shelley coming up on Thursday.
Ooh.
Alex Shelley does not do a lot of interviews, but he's doing our show. And so we'll talk to him about all of the various matches on that show. And, I hate doing this because now I'm going to have somebody on Twitter on Sunday saying, "Didn't you say, Brian?" All I'm going to say is, it is interesting that the tag team championship match is now a ladder match. The day after, the Hardys and the Young Bucks are doing a ladder match on the ROH show in what is the Hardys' last contracted date. Now, I'm not reporting here that the Hardys are going to be at WrestleMania, that the Hardys are going to appear in that ladder match. All I'm saying is that's interesting. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe they won't. It would be an enormous reaction if they showed up for that ladder match on WrestleMania Sunday. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm just throwing it out there. This was a stipulation that they came up with yesterday for whatever reason. So there you go. Just something to think about.
I guess what's also very possible is they just came up with a stipulation and stapled it to it because they do have a history of doing that.
You do realize that they also, the day before, had that interesting tweet where they talked about the Hardys' various ladder matches and TLC matches and mentioned tables were broken.
You are correct about that. But also, hey, look, Triple H tweeted out a picture of Finn Balor shooting him down when he tried to put up the Wolfpack sign there. The Bullet Club hand gesture. So he didn't show up on Raw last night. You don't know. Who knows? Maybe he shows up at WrestleMania, but probably not.
Finn Balor has to be at Mania.
I would think so, because somebody's got to counterbalance Samoa Joe, and they didn't mention much of Samoa Joe last night outside of the little bit that they did with him. So I'm going to assume that he's going to play a part as well. But still, you know, they float things out there on social media. They're not incredibly stupid. You know, they're not perfect with it, but they're not dumb with it when they know how to play people.
13 matches on the show. When we come back, we'll talk about all of them heading into Sunday. If you have Raw thoughts, you're welcome to send text messages here today. Might take phone calls in the final segment with Wale. I know he's very excited to talk to our regular callers here today. WWE did announce, by the way, that from now through SummerSlam, we have got Mania 33 on Sunday. Payback will be April 30th in San Jose. It's a Raw show. Bayley from San Jose. You can try to piece things together there. Backlash, the SmackDown pay-per-view, May 21st, Allstate Arena. We've got Extreme Rules, which is Raw in Baltimore, Maryland, at the Royal Farms Arena on June 4th.
It's still the Civic Center.
Money in the Bank SmackDown brand on June 18th, Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, and SummerSlam back at the Barclays Center.
So Raw in San Jose. I wonder if anybody tries to show off their abs that night.
Brooklyn, New York. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here. Wale, Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi. Wale is joining us here as
we speak today.
What's going on, Wale?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm out here in Seattle doing a little bit of a photo shoot, and, you know, enjoying the rain. Melancholy.
Enjoying the rain?
That was my attempt at the Brian Alvarez sarcasm.
Oh, yeah. I love the rain about here. We've had 5 days of sunshine since October.
That's so crazy, right?
That is the one thing that makes me regret not going to Orlando this year. Is it's going to rain the whole time.
You're not going to Orlando?
No, not going this year.
You need to figure this out, man.
Next year. Next year I'll be there in New Orleans.
Why don't they do more different cities, though? Is there like a reason? Like, because it was just in New Orleans. Well, it'll be 4 years since New Orleans. Like, why don't they go to, like, some, you know, is there a reason that they do that?
Well, I think that all of these different cities put in these bids, and obviously...
Oh, like Super Bowl and stuff.
Yep, and WWE brings in a lot of money, and so these cities that have had Mania, they want it back. That's why they're back in Orlando, they're back in New Orleans, they're probably going to be back in the Bay Area here in a couple of years.
What do you think the biggest, like, hijack show would be? Like, what city would hijack WrestleMania, like, to the point that WWE would be scared to have it there?
I think there's no city that it won't be hijacked. Because people fly in from all over the world.
You know, I'm talking about to the point where it's like, remember when they hijacked that Raw, and then Charlotte, like, she couldn't do a promo, and like she was getting like super frustrated? I think that was in England. It was in England, I think it was. I mean, they were singing the Bailey song and all of that.
Toronto.
Like, oh my God. I honestly think that if they did it in Chicago, like now, they'd hijack the whole thing. They'd hijack every match, unless it was like the main event.
Well, hey, I think even Philly last night, Raw was pretty smooth, but you know, Philadelphia is always a city where if you start to misstep, the fans are going to be all over you and take that thing over.
Yeah, yep, it's absolutely.
But I think part of the thing was...
Because remember when Roman said, when I won in Philadelphia, like he knew he was going to get heat for that.
Oh, yeah.
So when people like turn Roman a heel, I'm like, you guys realize, like, he is kind of a heel. Like, already. Like, he's already kind of made...
I thought it was a heel turn last night. He was such a heel last night that I was like, if I didn't know any better, like, that was the big turn.
I think that, like, in a weird way, him and John Cena are heels. In a weird way. Like, when you're talking about dollars and, like ad revenue and interest, general fan interest, I think they are heels. Like, when it boils down to it, like, you know, John Cena, when he does press, he talks about, like, oh, like when I perform in the ring and I'm wearing shorts and Kmart shoes, Like, he knows he's hamming it up a little bit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he knows he's being this person that he's not. And I think people boo him because they think that he really is this person. You know what I'm saying? He knows that his character's a little hokey. Like, he knows that. See what I'm saying? So, in that sense, he is heel because he's, like, doing what he knows people aren't going to like. Isn't that essentially what a heel is?
Yeah, but I also think that John Cena thinks that his fans like that about him. And so he's partially playing to the people that like him.
I think he knows he could be cooler. Like my only thing with him and Roman is just like, just evolve. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't got to come out wearing like, you know, John Cena could wear a whole nother like outfit and it would still be cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like the fact that he wears like a wristband and a hat and like a, and like does the same thing, runs in the ring, goes up and down the ropes one time, throws the hat, and puts his fingers up like that every single time. I think it's almost to the point like of like, screw y'all. Screw you guys. Like, that's what I think, honestly.
Let me ask him a question since we're talking about John Cena in his look. Wally, what did you think of John Cena when he was a white rapper?
He was going to battle Fabulous.
This was, what, 2003, 2004. I definitely thought somebody was writing some of his stuff on because the raps were, like, kind of really, they were good raps, to be honest with you. They were, like, some good little bars in there. And I was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay, John, you know what I'm saying? But I like that character, for real. Like, you know, and I think, like, if they would have evolved that, like, you know, like, okay, that's white rapper in 2004. Okay, so you just be like, all right, what would that same person, same mentality, economics, be in 2017? You know what I'm saying? What would that same person be? And I think that maybe WWE might have cut themselves short. I think that he would have got a Mitchell and Ness deal. You know, that's the jersey company. Would have got probably a Reebok deal or an Adidas deal. You know, they gave Kanye all that money from Adidas. They probably would have gave John the same, like a big deal like that. I think that he could have got a lot more deals if he would have stayed like cool and edgy. But you know, I don't think those guys in the upper like offices at WWE understand our culture. You know what I'm saying? John Cena may put out a platinum rap album, dog. That's not easy to do.
No,
you know, like that's not easy, and he did it. So that tells me something. Like these fans. These WWE fans, they're not, you know, they're not stupid. They know, you know, and he had some pretty good songs on there. He had some songs that I wasn't feeling, but, like, he still put out a platinum album. And there's guys right now that are considered legends and haven't put out a platinum album in years.
That's why John Cena's wearing all those wristbands. You got to sell. Got to sell that merch.
Got to sell it. But there's a lot of money in music, man. There's a lot of money in music, especially with streaming and all of that.
Well, when it comes to the culture and them understanding the culture, you have guys that are so inspired and have grown up in the shadow, whether it be you, whether it be Action Bronson, whether it be one of a million guys who have grown up so influenced by professional wrestling and use it and incorporate it into either their stage presence or into their bars. How can WWE, what would you do if they came to you and said, okay, we want to reach out. How do we change things up? How do we actually reach out and try to touch more people in the culture?
Well, you mean the company or just the wrestling culture?
I would say, I guess the company first, but the wrestling culture really as well, too.
I don't really think that the wrestling culture is very, accepting to hip-hop, truthfully. I think that, you know, there's like a disconnect somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they've ever been able to get any like hip-hop gimmick like guys over, for real. When Public Enemy, you know, they were over, but they were damn near killing themselves in the ring to get over. But like, you know, John Cena got over just because it was like really, really edgy and he was everything Vince liked, you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, just piggybacking on a hip hop gimmick. I don't think you can get over for real. You know, look at Swan. You know what I'm saying? Rich Swan, like he's a good friend of mine. I thought that he could have done it like a hip hop gimmick at first. You know, I was one of the people that helped him get into WWE. You know, I connected him with Mark Henry, him as well as Uha. You know, and I had some of these ideas. To you know, to blur the lines a little bit, like maybe like take them on Breakfast Club with me and Charlamagne and, like, you know, just say some things and get and activate the hip-hop culture. And, you know, it just got shut down so quickly, you know what I mean? And it's just like, they, I don't think that they're really connected, or they don't know or don't care about that subgenre, you know what I mean? I think they're just happy with, like, having Flo Rida and Pitbull and the Top 40 guys, you know, and no knock on those guys, but I just, you know, those guys don't really, aren't, like, really, like,
they're safe.
A depiction of our culture.
Wale, yeah. were you a fan of hip-hop and rap or professional wrestling first in your life?
I would probably say hip-hop and rap, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it was all really at the same time when I was just learning about what I really liked. But, I mean, I have early memories of going to, of just watching, like, you know, WrestleMania. Because, you know, we didn't have cable when I was growing up. So I had to go to, like, a friend's house and watch Raw, and that's on a school night. So you could imagine how many times I was actually allowed to watch, Raw. We had stolen cable for a little bit, but I remember watching Raw every time then. But I do remember having WrestleMania 7 on VHS. We dubbed it over on pay-per-view at my uncle's house, and I watched it, like, every day. And I remember watching it, like, all the time, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, you remember when Superstars used to come on, like, after Saved by the Bell, I believe it was, on Saturday morning. I remember that, you know, and remember cutting out a cardboard belt and, you know, tying shoelaces around my arms and acting like the Ultimate Warrior. I think Ultimate Warrior was every hyper kid's, like, spirit animal.
God, the Hulk Hogan Sergeant Slaughter match for the title there at Mania.
You know what's funny? Like, when I was a kid, my next door neighbor, who I used to watch, like, a lot of the pay per views over his house, he hated Hulk Hogan, and I never understood why. He was older than me. He was, like, maybe 4 years older than me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like 9, 8. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, you know, he's kind of more mature, but he used to hate Hulk Hogan. I'm like, why? And I remember how much he popped when Hogan lost at Survivor Series. I remember watching that as a little kid, and he was so happy, and I was like, "Yo, like, this guy just killed Hulkamania, and you're just laughing like
you can't kill Hulkamania, Wale. You know this."
Yeah, but I mean, imagine being a kid and, like, you've never seen Hulk Hogan lose, like, and you see him lose to this, like, guy who doesn't cut any promos, like, he's just Undertaker would make kids cry, man. Like, you know what I'm saying, as a kid. So, but he was so happy. But now that I get older and I realize, like, I learned so much about the business from, like, you guys' show and, like, other blogs and stuff like that, like, I can totally understand why, like, people didn't like Hogan back then.
All right,
we're
going to head to a break here real quick. When we come back, we'll talk the current WrestleMania and also Wale Mania, which is coming up on Thursday. It's Wale Mania 3. There's going to be 93,173 people there. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Those are WWE numbers.
Oh, come on. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break and more. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here. Wale, Observer Live. Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi. Wale is joining us here today. Wale Mania
is coming up.
Over the WrestleMania weekend, it's actually coming up on Thursday night at the Tier Nightclub in Orlando. Court Bauer, Mr. St. Laurent, Wale, Ricochet, Will Ospreay, Tama Tonga, Tongaroa, Orloa, Jim Ross, MVP, Big Dave Meltzer is going to be there, Wale. I bet you're excited about
Big
that.
Big Dave!
Man, oh man. Legendary picture of you and Dave.
I'm going to try to drag Dave to WrestleMania, man, ringside. I'm going to try to drag him out there.
Dude, you ain't getting him there. He's going home Saturday.
I'm going to try. Bro.
He's got work to do.
There's work that we can get done now.
Wale, you know that work comes first.
Bro, you ain't giving me no hope.
I'm giving you no hope. I'm not even pretending like there's hope. There's no hope for
Dave is.
Well, it'll be good to at least have him at the third Wale Mania. I love when Dave comes out because, like, I never really hear him laugh. I heard him laugh today, though. You said something on yesterday's show, and he laughed. And I was like, is he laughing?
It was something about we were talking about me no longer giving him any money whatsoever so that he would not be an evil millionaire. And I was going to boost his Twitter followers or something. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he was talking about how Bailey has more followers than him or something like that.
That's right. He's very angry, these other folks in California that have more Twitters than him, but they don't actually live in San Jose. Can you believe it?
Gotta love the Meltzer, bro.
Now, how has Wally Mania, like, compare year one, the first time you guys ever did this, to this year? I mean, has it grown exponentially?
In San Jose, and that's before I even knew Meltzer lived out there. That was crazy. But it was interesting because I didn't know what to expect. You know, I'm on Reddit a lot. I love Reddit. I kind of just stalk Reddit and don't say much on there because I'm like, I've always feel like they're gonna just like downvote me to the bottom of the map.
You don't want that, dude.
If I say anything,
that's
the
worst.
I'm just scared, but I'm on there, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't see much buzz on it, you know what I'm saying? So, but I was like, you know, I was asking court. I was like, yo, bro, like, gonna be all right, you know what I'm saying? And I was actually on tour at the time, but, you know, we made a reroute to get to San Jose, so I didn't know what to expect. And when I got out, it wasn't really like a line outside. Like, my show would be lines be wrapped around the block and all of that, so I didn't know what to expect. So when I went in there, I saw Scott Hall and MVP, you know, just they were like at the bar, like just chilling. And then, you know, I went around the corner into the next room, and it was a packed room, and like Jim Ross and Conan and Rey Mysterio and all these guys were on the panel, and I was like, yo, we did this. And I just felt so like accomplished because like I'm not like. Like I'm proud of like, you know, selling out my tours and doing like 5,000 people venues and all that. But I'm like I wear it as a badge of honor to be able to break into another genre, a whole world and just really like, you know, get the love. You know what I'm saying? And get the love. And it's different. It's absolutely different. Like when I go to the airport and I see like rap fans and you know, I talk to Biggie about it all the time, like, and Sasha, like, they like, yo, people be at the airport, like, stalking, trying to take pictures and stuff like that. But wrestling fans that are Wale Mania fans, they're more respectful. They want to ask you who's going to go over. They don't even really want to be, like, treat you like a celebrity. They just treat you like a regular fan. And I love that. I love that about Wale Mania, and I love that about going to WrestleMania and just chilling with the fans, having a beer with the fans and just chilling. You know what I mean? Like, I got to tell you, like, the first time I was just super surprised. And then I didn't think they was going to embrace me like that.
Well, let's talk about who's going to go over. I'm going to give you some Mania matches here. I want some predictions. I want your thoughts on what they've done with this year's Mania.
I feel like this Mania, all of the predictions are kind of like obvious a little bit. Well, but we thought that last year, and they just last year was Swerve-a-mania. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, Fastlane. Fastlane was Swerve-a-mania. They changed everything at Fastlane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just feel like okay. Last year it was Zack Ryder won and Jericho won over AJ Styles. Like it was like a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I was very surprised. It was a very surprising afternoon or whatever. This year I feel like it's kind of obvious. You know what I'm saying? I feel like you and Meltzer do who you thought was going to be pre-show and all of that? Like you said, the tag titles will be pre-show.
Well, we know for sure the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is pre-show, and the Neville Aries match is
pre-show. It
wasn't
last year, though. It wasn't, right?
Last year we had Ryback and Kalisto, and we had the women, and what was the third one, Mike?
To start the show? It was those two matches, and I'll find out the other one for you right now.
But the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal was during the show. I remember that,
and I was
like,
opener,
when I saw Shaq coming down, I was like, okay, like I'm such a mark that I was like, when Shaq was coming down, I was like, oh, because it's WrestleMania's in Orlando next year, and Shaq's gonna go in the Hall of Fame, and he's gonna, you know, have a match. Like I was just trying to call it all, like.
Well, you know what?
A lot of us that are too smart and too into the blog, that's how we entertain ourselves.
But you weren't a mark.
That stuff is like try to guess what's going to happen 4 or 5 months ahead of time.
But you weren't a mark because when they did that, it was supposed to be Shaq and the Big Show, and Shaq probably was going to go in as a celebrity, but then the whole thing fell apart. So you actually correctly
predicted. Why do you think that happened? And I'm going to tell you why I think that happened.
Money.
Well, yeah. But, you know, they say Shaq has made more money in outside endeavors, and he hasn't even spent any of the money he made playing basketball.
I can remember that.
I honestly wondered about his, and I know Brian and I kind of went back and forth on this as far as his intentions. He never mentioned it once. It just, I know there was a lot about money, but he never even seemed, Big Show went over the top. Look at the shape that Big Show got in to try to promote
this
thing.
There you go, Mike.
And that's the whole thing, and he didn't do a thing.
I think that it's like, wow, like Big Show, dog, can you imagine if he looked like that when he was 25?
Oh, my Lord.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I got to jump in here. Someone interviewed Big Show about his abs, because when you saw Big Show on Raw, it's like, he doesn't look as good as he did in that picture. And even the Big Show was like, even the Big Show was like, man, it was real good lighting. I probably shouldn't have even tweeted that picture out, because then it took on a life of its own.
Yeah, but he still looks fantastic.
He is in way better shape, yeah. But I think, like, when he was the Giant, that guy was in awesome shape till he got fat.
Well, yeah, he's throwing drop kicks.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I might be being blasphemous to like the basketball snobs, but I just feel like Shaq couldn't have drop kicked anybody at that point in his life.
I don't think Shaq's doing any drop kicks today.
He was doing drop kicks, bro. Like at 7 foot or whatever he is.
He was 7 feet. He was very close to 7 feet tall, and he was doing drop kicks. It was pretty amazing. Okay, here's some matches. I want to get your thoughts on these, because everything is predictable. No, I shouldn't say everything's predictable. Here are the ones that aren't so predictable.
They might swerve us again, though. They might swerve us again, so.
Okay.
How about it?
Who do you think is going to win, The Undertaker and Roman Reigns?
Roman.
You think so, huh?
The thing is, because they don't let Roman lose. Like, they just, and there's, remember that the card that leaked, like, 4 months ago or 3 months ago? They freaking stuck to the whole thing.
They did stick to nearly the entire thing.
Really? Like, really? Even the who has the title? It was, I'm not going to lie, I was very disappointed in that. You know what I'm saying? And when I saw it, the Roman and Undertaker, Roman's going to win because Roman probably would not lose more than two or three times this whole year. And if he won't lose clean, he'll probably lose clean twice, if anything, by this time in the next WrestleMania.
Who is going to win, Shane McMahon and AJ Styles?
AJ Styles. Shane will have a valiant effort.
Shane's going to fall off something high and get pinned?
That's one of the ones that's kind of like, you know, I love Shane and I love how he's contributed and all that, but like, I just think it was a little bit like, I don't know. I'm like, AJ is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and he'll be 40, I believe, next year. So why can't he just have a really, like, really, like, you know, 5-6-star match?
You're preaching to the choir right here.
Like, why does it have to be a soap opera match? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's for the guys who can't freaking do a 450 off the, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are for those guys. Like, this is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and he's in his prime. I just think he deserves a little bit better than that. That's my opinion.
I think that's virtually everybody's opinion. Except for the McMahons. That's everybody's opinion. This match is preposterous. Well, okay, here's another one. I don't know if you've seen the photos of the set, but what do you think Shane's going to jump off of? Hopefully not the top of that roller coaster.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, maybe he just won't jump off something because he was really banged up last. I remember last Mania, I was sitting right behind Shane's son, and I think it might have been Undertaker's wife and Shane's wife, but I just remember the look in their eyes was so like, I'm talking about after the bump, they're like, they weren't talking. It was very uncomfortable until he took that bump and got up and they were notified that he was okay. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's what they want to do again. I'd be surprised if they would do that again.
You know, you were mentioning earlier about the crowds turning on the shows, and I think that one of the reasons that they really didn't turn on Raw Monday was because there was nothing to turn on. It was just a basic show with some angles. I mean, they got really mad at Roman, but I think that the reason that they turn on shows is when you give them something that is just really outrageous. And I think if Shane beats AJ...
Remember they CM Punk Seth Rollins promo when that was a very important moment in the story arc. When, you know, he was sitting down talking to Corey Graves, I think it was, and they were talking about the injury. And, like, I feel like that was the moment where they were, like, trying to just, like, definitely turn him face. He's been face for a while, but, like, they were trying to make him a clear-cut baby face. When he's like, oh, I was worried about the wrong thing, and I was bad to the people, you know what I'm saying? And they CM Punk'd him to death.
Yeah,
and
but I think part of that was it was so killed, boring.
He was the best in the world when he was here at that point.
Well, yeah,
he got a little bigger. He got a little bigger and like less like muscular when he came back. Like it's just a tiny bit, and I mean obviously the knees bothering him a little. He can't move exactly the same, but they CM Punk'd him, and that, he didn't deserve that at that time.
Didn't. I don't think he deserved it, but I remember watching it thinking, my God, you're killing me with this promo. Like, what are you talking about? And that's when the people started doing the CM Punk chant. I know they were trying
to
do.
They should have probably done it. Like, you know when The Rock and Stone Cold did it with Jim Ross, and it was kind of intimate, and it wasn't like...
Yes.
It was like, you know, you didn't give the crowd an opportunity to pick a side. You know what I'm saying? They probably should have done it like that.
Well, Jim Ross was very good when he interviewed guys. Jim Ross was able to make it feel like it was real. Even when he's interviewing Mankind, it's like you kind of believe that Ross is really interested and the guy's bearing his soul. It totally did not feel like that when Seth is in the ring talking about, maybe I deserve this injury. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude?
I mean, this is the thing. I'm one of the guys that always wanted to see him as a face. You know, because I always felt like we just need a face that is like, can do all the moves. Like, you know what I'm saying? I always wanted, when he was, I remember when he came in at the All-White at SummerSlam, I was there, and I was like, oh.
He was a like, total babyface. He had the babyface outfit. It was a babyface match.
Like, he was in the best shape of his life. He was in All-White. Like, he did the Phoenix, was it Phoenix Splash? Like, the Hills don't do stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean? And I just, like you said last night, they just dropped the ball when he came back. Like, they always do that, though. It's like they always try to go against the grain so they could be right. And then when they're wrong, they try to fix it, and it's, like, too late. But, you know, I would love for him to be, like, one of the faces of the company, but I don't know. Like, I don't know now. You know what I mean?
Him, when he came back from the first knee injury, and everybody so badly wanted that guy to be a babyface, and they made him a heel, it was like, you guys are out of your mind. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on Wale Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, Mike Sempervivi, and Wale. Wale Mania. Easiest way to get information is go to mlw.com/event. It's very easy to find. Or just Google Wale Mania. There is a list of individuals appearing, and we can just say that this ain't the whole list because there's going to be a lot of surprises. Is that right, Wale?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of guys. There'll be guys, superstars of both men and women. and there'll, you know, a lot of people that are unannounced that are coming, and, you know, some people that are with the Fed that aren't really allowed to be promoted, quote unquote, but they'll be there, you know, show love to the fans, and we're going to have a nice little party after. I'm a DJ, and, you know, the parties have been great throughout the years. You know, the Hardys, a number of people, Flair, a lot of people have been to them. And you know, my guy Corey Bauer has made sure we've been lit every year. And the fact that we're in the center of where all the superstars reside, I feel like this year would be, you know, very, very groundbreaking.
There's going to be a lot of great stuff going on. The tickets start at $15, and there are still golden tickets available, $150, very limited, where you get all sorts of interesting things, including a early access to the pre-show meet and greet. So head up there to mlw.com, Google Wale Mania. Wale is at Wale. Very easy to find there on Twitter with his 5 million followers.
A lot of guys spelling it right.
That's right.
W-A-L-E, Lexicon Legend on Reddit. I'm on there.
That's right. At Wale. More followers than Dave Meltzer. At Wale. So head up there and check that out. We are out of time. I want to thank Wale as always, all of the callers, listeners, Mike, the folks at Sports Byline USA. We'll talk to you again next time. Don't miss Wale Mania and WrestleMania. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.